Stand for the pledge. Pledge allegiance to the
Congratulations to the flag of the United States of America and to the
Republic
Republic
for
for
which
which
it
it stands,
stands,
one
one
nation
nation under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible, liberty,
liberty,
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all. I'll do a roll call. Melissa?
Here.
Jim? Be here. Dan?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Carla? Carla? I'm not seeing Carla online.
No.
Looks like we do have enough for our quorum and we can proceed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any additions or deletions to the agenda? Anybody from the public who would like to speak? Anybody from the public who would like to speak? Anybody from the public who would like to speak? Online, anybody from the public? Anybody from the public online that would like to speak? Can they hear me? Can you guys hear us okay? Can you guys hear us online?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, seeing no one from the public, we'll move on. Board of Education recognition. We would like to recognize Mr. Gilday for his service to the board as chair.
Thank you.
And as non-chair for all the years that he's been here. We have the...
Oh, my God. Very nice. Now I'm not as mad as you, Ken.
Huh?
Now I'm not as mad at you. Well, that's going to take some time. Oh, I got to stand up? Oh, look, I finally dressed down and you're giving me something. Look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you
do a picture? Ken, you gonna do a picture with me? There you go. Come on, Dan. Doing a picture with me?
All right.
Come on.
Just in case, 2 years.
No, I'm good. I'm running for Board of Alders now. It is.
Any other recognition?
No. I got one. Yeah.
Do we have a birthday? His birthday is it? Is it? Allison, is it your birthday?
No.
No, it'll be upset. Yeah, is it?
Happy birthday, Allison.
39.
Oh, happy birthday month. Yes. Let me get it right.
Really? You like your picture taken.
So that means it's we will celebrate every single day this month.
Hey, you're my, Yeah, you're like, what?
You'd like to skip the whole thing.
That's the case now.
No.
Okay, student rep to the board, Doc.
Yes. Last one, I get your report.
All right. I don't have a full report, but I just want to list a few things that happened within the month of December. So first, we had Instant Decision Week, where a lot of representatives from colleges came and told the seniors if they were accepted into or not, which a lot of seniors that I know had gotten accepted and with a lot of scholarships. So I thought that was great. Then we also had the Unified Basketball Tournament, which was really well, how everyone was more unified. Then we had PJs for kids for the Rotary Club, which I'm pretty sure we raised more than $300 for it. And those funds had went to the Connecticut Children's Medical. We're also for the Rotary Club. We adopted a family. So during the holidays, this family has spent, oh, thank you. This family has spent a lot within the like of time within the hospital and a lot of the medical bills they had to pay. So with adopting this family, we had bought the family Christmas gifts so they wouldn't have to live like with the burden of having to supply those gifts with their children. And we also had Spirit Week where it was successful. A lot of the students had dressed up for it, even though we haven't had our pep rally since there was no school. And after break, starting off school again, all the classes are getting prepared for midterms and reviewing their assignments and what we're working on.
Thank you, Lance. Good job. Do want me to take the
Yeah. Thank you.
Any questions, Marjorie? Thank you very much.
Thank
You could
you.
say if you want, anytime you have to leave, you could leave. Yes, to study.
Thank you.
Bye, Laz. Thank you so much. Pretty girl. Sweet kid.
Okay, what's the board's pleasure with the executive session? Do you think we need it? We don't have too much on here for hiring.
I would be good without having them.
Yeah. Feel every
You
reason
okay
here.
with the waiving the board of the executive session?
Everybody's on board? Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we waive our executive session this evening.
There's motion second.
Second.
You got that? All in favor? All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, doc, the appointments.
I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve the appointment list for new hires.
Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Foley. Okay.
You have the appointment list. There's the nurse substitute, paraeducator at LRU, and a classroom paraeducator at Irving.
Is there anybody there?
Yes. You appointed Chris, who's online with us tonight. For the high school last meeting, but he couldn't attend, so he's here tonight to be recognized by the board for the appointment, and Jen's here to introduce him. But if we want to just finalize the last motion, and then Jen can introduce Chris.
Okay, all in favor of the last motion?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Position was missing.
All right, good evening, everyone. I am very excited to be able to help introduce Chris DeLillo. He's online right now. Chris, I'm not sure if your camera's able to turn on. We could give you a wave. But Chris is joining us as a long-term substitute teacher covering for Mr. Piazza during a leave of absence. We're very excited to be able to welcome Chris. He's been at Derby High School for a little over about a week and a half or so before we went into break. And he's transitioning into covering for civics and some of our social studies elective classes. We're very excited about his experience that he brings to us. Chris is a certified social studies teacher. He does have a background also in special education. He started his education career as a paraeducator, working with students in some behavior skills supports rooms, transitioned into general education, and has worked as a student teacher, substitute, and long-term social studies teacher in Griswold, Stonington, and then most recently at Woodstock Academy. His background includes teaching civics, world history, and what's pretty interesting is some experience working with an international population of students at Woodstock Academy. In that role, he had the unique experience of being able to teach international students about American government, and then also helping with transitioning into, you know, language. He was nominated as a 2024, excited about that. He had a fantastic demo lesson, very engaging and hands-on with our kids. We knew for sure about the connections and rapport and relationships that he can build with students. That was part of the recommendations that he received from other schools. So we're very excited to bring Chris on and get him started. He's already deep in our clubs that are going on at Derby High School. He's previously served as an advisor for a basketball club and also a card games club in his previous school. So we're looking forward to Chris bringing some of that work with our students as well while he joins Derby High School. So welcome, Chris.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Chris, you're up on a big screen right now. We can all see you. You're in the cafetorium at Derby Middle School.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Looking forward to working with you all.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take a quick picture.
Welcome, Chris. Yeah, we could. Can we do that now? We have to have a meeting.
Do we have any other appointments? Do you have any other appointments tonight?
No. Okay. That's it? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chris. I think we want to move the that standing committee to the end of the meeting, so we're not holding up the administrators if they want to leave. Can we do that, Doc?
Yeah, you can just request to move it to number, make it 10.
After 10G?
Yeah, after 10G.
Okay, make a motion to move it.
I'd like to recommend that we move the item number 8, standing committee consideration, to the end of the meeting after item number 10, administrator's report.
Second by then, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Nothing new to report on the budget.
Nothing on the budget?
On the 0.7 budget. It's nothing new since last meeting. It's still in the same place.
Okay. Your doc said there's nothing new on the budget at this point. So you can skip over that. Administrators reports, early childhood program. Mrs. Conway? You're first.
Happy New Year, everyone. So as you can imagine, being a preschool, we had the best month of December ever. We had the fresh little, what's his little name? The Elf on the Shelf. We had a visit from the Grinch and Santa Claus. We were Santa Claus helpers and made Christmas decorations for the parents. We celebrated every single solitary holiday in December, so it was honestly a month of parties. fun. And they actually all even love Santa Claus this year. Any questions?
Any questions for Ms. Howe?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Derby Middle School. She's trying to push it out.
Don't raise your voice.
I'm struggling this whole time. I can't
see. I almost had to tackle Jet.
Where you go?
Sorry. So similar, you know, November and December are very, very busy and quick. At the end of November, we did have, as we do every single year, we give out the Thanksgiving baskets. Like my first year, it was probably 10 and then it's 20. This year we did do 38 meals to people in the community. So it was a lot of meals. We partnered with the Connecticut Food Share this year, which was amazing. So the food came in on an 18-wheeler on pallets. It had come from the Max restaurant group. It was like the turkey looked like it had been cooked to perfection. And families got like, it was beautifully prepared in boxes and it had everything in it and labeled and really looked beautiful. A student had emailed me and was like, Miss, the food was delicious. And I thought it was a wonderful touch because while we've prepared meals for people before, what we typically gave was a turkey and like the fixings. And so families would need to then cook that. And like, you know, his mom, like, do you have butter? Do you, right? All those things versus this was ready to go, all fully prepared and just needed to be microwaved and or could have been eaten cold if someone needed to do so. But 38 families from all four schools were able to pick up that meal and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. So super excited to continue to partner with them and get that for our community. We had a lot of fun in December. As they said, we held a best buddies movie night. So that is for our students who are in the learning centers and their partners. We had about 50 kids here that night, watching Home Alone and hanging out. And it was really awesome. And especially for some of our students in the learning centers, for their families, it's really a lot of fun. Kids came in their pajamas, and for the parents to like drop them off at a night event. One young man was like, can I come tomorrow night? And I was like, we'll figure that out, buddy. Like, you know, but that was wonderful. And Miss Chevrella had put that on. We did an underground 67th day of school. The kids did not love staff wearing 6-7 shirts and making 6-7 jokes all day, but it's middle school. So we don't really hear 6-7 much. So I guess that worked. Whatever we did here, we've now stopped it now that it's become an adult thing.
I don't get it.
We did a kickboard, little holiday shop for our kids to be able to purchase some gifts for their parents or different things like that. So December was busy.
Was very busy.
And quick. And they're back and ready to roll for January. So that's where we are. I was sad that we had a snow day on the second, because historically I like to dress up and throw candy canes. We have matching outfits.
It was very
so.
Sad.
While I appreciate the snow day, I was sad. So I have to store that again for next year. We have matching elf costumes.
We do.
That's all I got.
We're in storage for next year.
You have to do it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so I'll have to do it a day. Yeah,
next
yeah.
Year.
Extra.
We'll pre-plan.
Any questions for me? No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bradley School.
Big screen.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. I'll focus on, because December is now in the past. Obviously, there's some stuff in the report, but in terms of a good, solid return back from a nice break, kids came in very well rested, enthusiastic, ready to learn. Yesterday, Mrs. Jardine and I met with the majority of students one grade level at a time, just to kind of reset expectations for academics and behavior, talk a little about uniform compliance. So we met with each grade level teachers and we kind of addressed some concerns that we had going into break in hopes that we came back refreshed and reset for the new year. And Bradley School's focus now is turning towards Smarter Balance, which is coming in May. We were pleased with some of our growth scores and our proficiency scores last year, and we want to build upon those. So we're going to be using the IABs through the Connecticut State Department of Education website to be able to start practicing some of those types of examples that the kids are going to see in May. And the coaches are already working alongside the classroom teachers in grades 3, 4, and 5 to start practicing not only the format of the test, but the types of questions the kids are going to be asked. And we actually talked about that as part of our academic expectations yesterday. So we're hitting the ground running to start the new year. We're very excited for what's coming. We have mid-year assessments coming up, benchmark assessments in both the Math Screener and Dibbles. So we're curious to see and excited to see what the growth of our students is going to be from when we tested them first in September to now in January. Any questions from any of our board members? All right. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Irving School.
Good evening, everyone. Irving School has been great the month of December. Just share a few highlights. Rolling along right along in December, we've had our student success teams full speed ahead, both our academic and behavioral meetings. In these meetings, we have a team of coaches, interventionists, classroom teachers, PPS staff, administration, making decisions for kids that are struggling, whether it's academic or behaviorally. It's a very meaningful meeting. We have agendas. We move them right along. Teachers come prepared with data in the sense of making the best decision for the kid moving forward. And I have to say, it's something that I think Ms. Jardine and I, as Ms. Maluski gets acclimated even more to these, we'll be very proud of, because it is making a difference. But it all leads to the leadership of the teams. Our academic team is led by our school psychologist, Jenna Gagliottino. Our behavioral SST team is led by one of our social workers, Kayla Chevrette. And these two work really, really hard to make sure that, again, we're making the best decisions for kids. So very proud of that. In the human capital area, our school climate team met twice this past year. Now, the school climate is something that, has changed a little bit with the direction from the state of Connecticut. And then Dr. Rafferty has been a guiding light for us all with our school climate. But the team at Irving School included community members, including people from Derby Police Department, family members, both kids and adults, and staff from teaching ranks, para ranks, administration, and again, the PPS team. And it really was a rich discussion on how to make the school climate the best it can be at Irving School. But the most important highlight is all the stuff that's in place now that really make it good. Like, things are going well. And the team was able to point out some of those things that have really driven the culture and the climate to be successful at Irving. In operations, something we started once Ms. Maluski started in December now, we're having weekly admin team meetings, not to just add another meeting on all of our schedules, but we're talking about the issues that we're all dealing with in silos together. So if someone had a question for me that they've already spoke to Ms. Giardini about or Ms. Maluski about, we're going to be on the same united page for the best decision possible at Irving School. So this is something that, I want to keep up growing, because if you ever come to visit Irving School, I don't know if I saw Ms. Giardini today. All right. And we're both in the building. So, we have to intentionally plan for those times to sit down and discuss the big things that are happening in our building. And then in culture and climate, elementary school kids use the number 6-7 a lot, and they still do every day, all day. So we had a 67th day spirit day. And PTO came in the night before and decorated the school, made signs, went way, way above what I thought they were going to do, made signs, had signs made, balloons. The kids came in. Some of them had their own decorated shirts on. A lot of the staff, including the principal of Irving School, had a 67 shirt on. And it was very fun. And it was just a good testament to the culture of the building, on this weird, I don't know, how it got to where it is, but it's just strange. We just had fun. The adults embraced it, even though many teachers at Irving School have banned those numbers being said in their classrooms. I did make two teachers exceptionally angry by okaying the 67th spirit day when PTO brought it to my attention. But they joined in as well. It was fun. But it was just a fun day, and it was really a way to kind of start the holiday season because it was on December 10th. Do you want to talk about that? The play summit?
Sure. We had kindergarten and first grade teachers able to participate in the Connecticut Play Summit at the University of Hartford, where it was an opportunity to meet with many other districts in Connecticut to talk about the importance of really meaningful, intentional play and how it's connected to academic learning, not only for their academic success, but also for their social, emotional, and behavioral success as well. So teachers were very excited to participate in that. We're rejuvenated with some new ideas and are implementing really beautiful play-based learning opportunities in their classrooms.
Just to follow up with that today, end of my day, going into the first grade classroom, they do the purposeful play block in first grade as well, but they were, kids were sitting down writing. I thought it was writing. I thought they were writing sentences, which they do, hard bookworms. But the teacher said, no, Mr. Russo, they're planning their purposeful play block for tomorrow. They're planning what station they're going to be at and what they're going to do at. So very cool, very, very, you know, pretty amazing stuff to incorporate play into learning. And that's because they've learned. So questions?
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Derby High School.
All right. So we've been focusing all year around really at Derby High School, creating opportunities and experiences for students, a chance for them to apply their learning and really grow themselves as leaders. And so a couple of those programs that I want to highlight is the first one right there. Great picture of our mock trial crew. They are actually going to be coming to the board meeting at the end of the month on the 22nd. So they had their formal competition. This is the case that we had talked about, the opioids epidemic case, where Nick Van Steenberg was a defendant in that trial, and our students took on the roles of prosecutors, of defendants, of witnesses, and did an absolutely outstanding job. They did win one of their cases. They competed against Weston High School and Fairfield Ward Ludlow. So really prestigious schools that they competed against. The feedback that they received from the judges in the case was really very specific to each individual participant. Got a lot of praise. They were both a very experienced team. So for them to have gotten a win from one and the other one from a points perspective was very close, gives us great hope for the future of this program. The attorney coach, Attorney Sussman, he will be joining again. We're very proud of that partnership. Attorney Sussman comes to our U.S. legal class once a week. He's been working with the kids in the classroom with Mr. Butterworth, and it was absolutely amazing. So you'll see our students. You'll hear a little bit more directly from them, but that's a great picture of them, pretty official in that way for them to apply their learning. This is our second year of that program. Yeah. The trials are once a year in the late fall, winter, early winter, and we won't be able to compete again until next year, but they're going to continue in a less formal because the class is ending. So they'll do it more in a club perspective now. Laz mentioned that we had our Instant Decision Week, and it was really very successful. I did include in there the report about all the acceptances that we received, that students received, but their scholarships were really outstanding. Many of our students were receiving merit scholarships. Many received presidential scholarships, and those scholarships are renewable. So where you see that it's 25,000, it's really 100,000, because so long as they continue to remain academically eligible and continue pacing, that would be a renewable scholarship. So big, big things for students. Our dual enrollment course registration with the community colleges is up and running right now. Our students in junior and senior year throughout the state of Connecticut are eligible to take up to two free courses at the community colleges. Those are called their dual enrollments. So they're Derby High School students while still taking high school courses. Our counselors worked with them. They've done, they've had their recommendations. And so right now the students are meeting with the counselors at the community colleges to do course selection January 23rd. So we have a number of students who are in that process. We'll have a final number by the end of this week to know how many students officially committed. But that's a great opportunity, zero cost for tuition, and an opportunity for kids to earn credits before they even land on a college campus. We also have the American Legion Oratorical Contest that is coming up January 15th. Want to invite the board to be able to join us. It is after school hours, right after school at 2 o'clock, but we have five students who are going to be competing. That is the record number for us. But those students are going to be speaking about the U.S. Constitution. I will just tell you that program is pretty official. If you remember last year, our student Vincent Trin actually ended up taking third in the state of Connecticut. He progressed from our school level, the regional contest, and then landed as a third place finish at the state. But the students have to be able to speak without any podium, no microphone. It is an oratorical contest. They have to have an 8 to 10 minute oration on the U.S. Constitution. It is very personalized. People can find anything about the Constitution that they are passionate about. The topics were very interesting when we went to those to hear from other students. So I'm excited to be able to see how our students perform there. But they've done really great things in the past number of years. Hobie Youth Leadership just closed out. We've selected our students. We opened it up. It is a statewide, it's a national program, but the state of Connecticut hosts a leadership conference at Southern Connecticut State University at the beginning of June. It is open to sophomores, so we put it out to the whole class, did a pitch to be able to see who'd like to apply. We had a number of students go through a process where they had to do a formal application. There were essays, and then we had a selection committee. Each student who was interested sat for an interview and answered questions about leadership and what it means to them and how they can bring that back. This program really helps build leadership potential in students. There's guest speakers, keynote speakers, there's service projects. There's some names on there that you might remember, might recognize actually right here in the room. Some students that are going to be participating. They are going to be invited in June to come. That's when the program is. So they'll talk about their experience. We've heard from our Hobie kids before. But I do want to give John Sackew a shout out. This program costs $400 tuition. And we know that that can be a barrier for families.
Stop.
For the past number of years, we've written it into a grant, two tuitions at $400. Our student council has sponsored a student for a third one. But this year, because seven students were selected, we were short four tuitions. So $1,600 we needed to come up with. The students all agreed that we're going to be all in. Everyone's going and we're going to all fundraise and figure it out. I reached out to John Sackew to see if he would consider sponsoring one of our students to help at least relieve that burden of one. John had access to some funding through some grants and has read through the applications and partnered with us and has selected four students that he is going to commit to sponsoring. So we now have full sponsorship for all seven students to be able to participate in that program, which we're very excited about. The other, just in continuing on the college and career readiness, we're typically at this meeting, we would be presenting our program of studies. We've paused it because we need a little bit more time because we're working with UConn right now. We've been working with our faculty to be able to identify teachers that that are eligible to take current courses that we're teaching at Derby High School and make them a dual credit early college experience. We heard about that UConn ECE program a couple meetings ago, and we're excited that right now it looks like there are some classes that can be easily transitioned, and our students can not only earn Derby High School credit, but potentially UConn credit as well. We'll know that answer certainly by the end of January, so we look to have our program of studies by February for you. And the last just fun thing to share, during the holidays, I think every school's done something to kind of just bring up a little spirit, certainly with students, but also with our staff. We had a fun department holiday card contest. Each department created a holiday greeting card. We actually probably made about 15 different cards from the administrators team. We couldn't figure out, find one that we landed on. But the students voted on the winning submission. And today our social studies department actually, they were the victors, and they, some highlights from the high school. Thank you.
I have a question. Jen, can you just tell us what school staff member is leading the Youth Leadership Conference program and the American Legion program?
So for the American Legion, right now we have our school counselors are the ones who are running that. So Jenna Strosky has taken the lead for a number of years with that program, Brian Nutcher. Our social studies teachers have also kind of gone all in. They partner with the students and help once the students get their speeches together, they have a faculty member that can be able to support that. What's the other program that you're asking about?
The Youth Leadership Conference.
OB Youth Leadership. Yeah. So that's actually something that I've been facilitating. We do have support from our Rotary as well. So they sat on our selection committee, Jen Moffitt and Carlin Ali. They're the faculty advisors for those.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Great. Okay, thank you.
Athletic Department, Doug?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Nice to see everyone's smiling faces after the holidays. So you would think at the end of November, early December, it's kind of like everything's kind of winding down, getting ready to go to winter. But that's kind of when our unified sports ramps up. So we did celebrate Joe Capel for cross country All-State, recently named Alan Gaddison for football All-State. We'll be celebrating him this Sunday. Congratulations to Alan. There's a lot of things that happen around that time of the year with unified sports. So Coach Ali and I accompanied a group of 20 unified sports athletes to Staples High School. Last year, we went to Rocky Hill High School. This year was Staples for the Unified Sports and Connecticut Special Olympics Leadership Summit. That's where we were given officially we already had our banner here, but it was announced officially at that summit. So we were able to bring 20 student athletes. So that was a very exciting opportunity for them. We hosted a kindness activity during our lunch waves on November 13th, which led right into us hosting Watertown and Oxford for a basketball tournament, holiday hoops, as well as a spontaneous dance party during that, which was amazing. So that was a great way to, we're almost into break at that point. Our DMS Unified Sports, we picked our athletes this week. So we're getting started with getting Unified off the ground at the middle school as well. I'm very excited in doing a lot of crossover events like we did last year between the middle school and the high school, as well as hosting some other schools. Coach Landolfi told me today that she spoke with a couple of the teams that we'll be hosting in May for our cornhole tournament. And they've got a really cool pen pal experience set up for them to be able to get to know people through writing letters. And then when they come here in May, they'll be able to meet each other and meet the pen pals that they've been communicating back and forth with all year. So they're very excited about that. So that's something great that they've added this year. On December 5th, Mrs. Sheridan and I brought 12 students to the leadership conference down at Southern Connecticut State University, where they attended numerous breakout sessions and had the opportunity to bring different leadership skills that they may not have possessed yet back to Derby High School and utilize them on our campus. So we're very excited for those student athletes as well. As far as winter sports, we're off and running. both at the high school and the middle school. Everyone at this point, as of today, has had either a game or a meet, except for cheerleading. Cheerleading's first competition is the 17th. So we are full out running in winter sports right now. So we're excited again for the All-State Banquet on Sunday to celebrate Allen. That's about what I have for now.
Any questions for example?
Jen, I don't want to put you on the spot. What is the policy? What to them? Child, transgender, athletes.
So the Naugatuck Valley follows Connecticut state laws. I don't know if Doc, and if you want to go any further, but we follow the Connecticut state laws that are put into effect.
Yeah, what the vice chairman's referring to is the just the additional filing from the individual of Waterbury. So we just sent it out to the board yesterday that we received that was sent to each individual board member to our office. And it's just an update to the previous filing that she had, basically putting every district in the NVL that has played Waterbury on notice that of her actions that she's filing with the OCR. At this particular point, no filing from any district or individual at this point, according to CIAC, that has gone to OCR has gone anywhere besides just the filing.
Well, what's the policy of the state?
That they can participate.
That they can?
Yes, that they can participate. Yeah.
Although,
We as a school system
have the right parents to not play.
Yes, 100%. So if you recall, when this first came up, it's this. This goes back to the game that we played.
Will be
during the
volleyball. Fall. Yep.
This goes back to that. It's just because we played will be, we've been added to that list. So that's why you received that notification. But this goes back to when we were going to play Willby, we met with the students and the parents, and they wanted to play.
Does federal law supersede state law?
Federal law right now, Connecticut follows current federal law on this, which is that they can participate. Now, I know that there's an executive order, but that doesn't supersede Connecticut law at this time.
When would it go through Congress? Or?
Yeah. So what we've done in this situation, what we did is met with all the students, all the parents, and then move forward.
As I read the law, I thought that this person eliminated most of the girls in the competition.
Not that I'm aware of. According to CIAC.
Winning.
No. Without getting specific to an individual, what I did look at the only time we went through this back in the fall during girls volleyball was through CIAC anyway, and through Waterbury, Superintendent of Waterbury, this was not a situation in which the athlete dominated other athletes on the court in any way. That was my first thing with safety. But in this particular situation, that was not a concern. And what we learned is last year, before there was what's happening at the federal level, I would say, the same individual was playing on the same court with the same team, and it was not an issue then either.
We won the first two sets when we played a little bit.
We did. We won the first, very good memory. We won the first two sets playing Willoughby. They did not, this particular situation is not an athlete that dominates the game being played, though that I could 100% see that a situation where that could happen. This is where it's a safety issue.
That shouldn't make a difference. That shouldn't make a difference, should it?
But
the person is.
what I'm responding to is the situation, how we handled the situation with the players. We asked the players first and asked the parents, and then went forward with what their decision was. One girl chose in that, at least that game, one girl chose not to play, correct?
Correct. And in the second game, when we the second time that we played against them, she only sat out while that athlete was on the court.
Thank you.
Now, is this against the individual school in Waterbury, or is it the whole town?
The whole league. So any team that has played that Waterbury team is being named in that.
Okay. I'm so sorry. People on the line are saying they can't hear. I don't know if that mic is on.
Gotcha.
Defendants?
Not at this time. We've just been named. There's no actual, that I know of, no actual, federal filing yet.
The NBL as a league has also reached out to a lawyer, and Brian Mariano, who's the head of our NBL ADs, has sat down with that lawyer, and they've given us basically the same advice that we already had, that it's Connecticut law and that no other OCR complaint has come to fruition of any way.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Special Ed Department?
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Yeah.
That's for Zoom.
Oh, this is just for Zoom. Well, that was silly. Sorry about that. Sorry. So I'd just like to formally announce, Angela as the new supervisor of special education at the elementary school. All right. From a special education standpoint here, obviously two new people to the district. We're streamlining a lot of the processes that have been in place. We're putting a new spin to things to some degree from the central office standpoint, trying to make things a little bit easier. For us, making things easier for our teachers, and then it also trickles down to the students. From the operation standpoint, we have the coffee cart that's running at the high school and the middle school, both which picked up holiday themes for hot chocolate and coffee. So it was a good time for our special education students. We also had, as Ms. Caggiano noted, was the Best Buddies event at the middle school last week. Angela had coordinated a pre-K to 12 NEET PD for specialized program teachers. It also focuses on AAC devices for speech and language pathologists. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we completed an in-house PMT training in the elementary school. We're also running another one in January for the secondary level. Okay. All right, that's it. Does anyone have any questions? Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a short break so Allison could cut her cake.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I missed that. I apologize. I missed number nine, the budget update.
Which one?
Did I miss item number nine, the budget update?
There is no update. Nothing's no change.
So we're still at the 1.2 million request?
Yes. Yeah.
And what?
We're meeting with the principals in mid-January to review their plans. To reduce their individual budget.
When is the Mr. Chair? I'm sorry. When do we plan to vote on the budget, though? The January meeting, the February?
It would be at the second meeting in January, so at the next meeting.
If we
want to present it to the.
So you'll be presenting a budget to us on the third Thursday of the month.
An estimated budget. That number would then go as an estimate to the city, which has to happen by February 1st, knowing that there could be changes between February and
thank you.
The time the budget actually passes at the city.
Are the aldermen meeting on the teacher's contract?
They are on Thursday.
Thursday.
They vote on it on Thursday if they're going to vote on it.
They don't vote on it, it just goes through.
After 30 days, correct. After 30 days from December 18th, I think. I can. Yeah, I'll let everybody know right now. During our, just want to recognize while we're before we go on to the next item. I don't even think there's cake. So yeah, I don't think there is cake. Is there cake? Okay.
How about brownies?
There's nothing to cut.
Allison, happy birthday, brownie.
Just as we're transitioning to the next item, then to let everybody know publicly, just let the admin team know at the admin council. But Robbie Trainer will be resigning and has accepted a position in another employment beginning February 1st. Will be with us for the rest of this month.
That was in the packet. Yeah.
I didn't right. see that.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
It was on the screen.
It was where the condition.
Okay, so we don't have to take a break.
Oh, I see him. I lied.
Oh well, I saw it up on the screen when I first got it. Right, Doc, wasn't it under?
I'm not sure if she could if Dina.
Was that put in today?
Up today.
Was that the update?
What's at the very end, Doc?
State. That's why, because I looked at, I didn't look at it today.
The information is under on 12.
Yeah.
The information.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that'll go on the next one, but I might as well mention, since we're on the resignations, we also just learned yesterday that Jeremy Clark is going to resign as football coach.
Do we know if the rest of the team is going with him as well?
Oh, you mean a coach?
Yeah.
I guess it depends if he gets
the Woodland. I know, I am being so serious.
I guess it depends if he gets the Woodland job.
Yeah. Saw that coming.
I didn't know what you said then.
I'm just curious if the rest of the coaches are going to decide to do the same. It would be nice to know now so we can at least make sure that our, especially seniors, are not going to not have a season. Specifically mine and Alan and Vinny.
I would anticipate Jeremy getting the Woodland job and taking a number of the assistant coaches with. I think that's probably what we should plan for.
Maybe he's been told or something. I don't know. I would think normally they would hire within.
I forget his name, but he just
but he did graduate.
And he coached her.
He coached her too.
Sure.
Yeah. So what was the Woodland? I don't know. You know who the Woodland coach was?
Oh, well, it began with an L. I forget. The guy who replaced Steve, who left us too. Steve Boehner. The guy who replaced Steve Boehner, who left us to go to Woodland.
Well, when Steve left here to go there, he was very successful.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, right on to standing committee consideration. Okay, I sent out the information to you, but I want to get your input on it before any decisions are made. We're considering moving or changing the 7 committees to 3. Okay, and that would, instead of everybody being on 2 or 3 committees, everybody would be on 1 committee. And along with that, we would change the first Tuesday of the month meeting to a standing committee meeting rather than that. That's what it was supposed to be a long time ago. And then it kind of evolved into a second regular board meeting. So we would take, like, I think the only administrators there. What would be the administrators that were tonight would be put into the Thursday night meeting with the 2 other ones that are usually on the Thursday night. In the long run, it would involve probably less meetings for us, because that Tuesday night meeting would be specifically for the standing committee, the 3 standing committees.
once they're settled.
So you're saying all the committees would meet on the same night?
All of the committee, because everybody would be on one committee instead of two or three. And so we would have a meeting where we would open the meeting just like we normally do. And if Doc had some business, urgent business to do that night, like if he wanted to hire somebody, he could do that at that meeting also. And then we would break off into the standing committees.
And how would we do that? How would Dr. Conway be in three places?
Well, he said that
they're all in the same building. I would depending upon the agenda items, I could assign. If it was teaching and learning, Dr. Rafferty would be sitting on it, and I would go into that meeting as needed. Or you run them consecutively, one after the other. So if they're concurrent, it's more challenging, but we have admins that could sit in on them. If they're consecutive, then I would go from one after the other after the other.
If there was an important issue, we could go through that.
Is that allowed for our bylaws?
Under current bylaws, no. You would have to change the bylaws.
We have to change the bylaws
to make any of these changes.
Board of Aldermen is consecutive.
They do.
Yes.
Yep.
Each committee meets one after the other.
They go one after the other. Again, you open one meeting, close it. Open the next meeting, close it. Open the next meeting, close it.
For freedom of information purposes, a couple things. First, all three would have to be posted separately. All three. So you couldn't just do. You couldn't do it in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah,
all
just
three,
like you do.
Yeah, all three would have to be posted separately.
Yep.
All three would have to be posted with the Secretary of State's office by January 31st, in theory.
So we would have to adjourn the meeting?
Yeah.
You do.
And then do the three.
Yes, you would have to. And then, I'll be honest, remotely, I don't know how you would do all three in the same room at the same building unless you did meeting one, like the aldermen do. Meeting two, meeting three. That way you go to all three or could. And then most importantly, to comply with FOI, you're doing three different Zoom meetings, three different meetings, three different postings. So I don't know how you could do it other than doing it that way. You'd have your standing meeting. You'd have to adjourn that because each one of these meetings would have to be their own meeting.
Right.
Posted by themselves on file with the second, on file.
Yeah.
And so I think you'd have to do it that way. Yeah. If it went that way.
One advantage of doing it all in one night is that many times do not have.
I think that's more of a conversation that we need to have with individual board members. Honestly, because if you're signing up to be somewhere or fulfill a role, then you should be either showing up or Zooming in, because it doesn't get any easier than Zooming in. I think that's really
I see what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying Zoom is the easiest thing in the world, but I feel like we're coming up with, excuses at that point. I will say that after reading the thought process and proposal to this, I don't see being able, by condensing those meetings to, I'm sorry, those committees to three, that we can keep it within 45 minutes to an hour each. I can tell you that athletics usually runs.
Well, not if we have to do it. That was the 45 minutes to an hour was considering meeting all of them at the same time. But Jimmy's saying that.
Even if we did meet all at the same time, I don't think if we condensed,
I don't see how you could do it all at the same time.
Yeah, I like time-wise, because there's so many topics that are discussed per individual committee that I just don't see that that all happening within that time frame. To be honest with you, I think that we're going to spend more time trying to accomplish that than what we do with our current setup right now.
I think what the aldermen do is their meeting one is from 5 to 6, meeting two is from 6 to 7, meeting three is from 7 to 8. right? I mean, so they have three meetings in the same night. And so you'd almost, I'm not saying I'm in favor or against, I'm just saying you'd almost have to get rid of that meeting, that first month meeting, because then you're having four, right? Then you're opening up the standing committee meeting, and then you're to whatever, and then you're having four other ones, three other ones.
Well, does the board do those meetings on a separate night?
No, they do them all the same night.
No, but I mean, is it the same night as the regular board?
No.
So it's a separate?
Yes, sir.
They only hold a meeting other than the subcommittee.
I thought they did the second and the fourth, but I could be wrong. For spillover, maybe. It's definitely the second. I'm not sure. Again, they're saying online they can't hear us. I would also say, if I could, you know, and again, I'm not, we would have to amend our existing policy on standing committees. And we have another policy that says in order to amend policies, you have to refer the policy to your existing policy committee, who then changes the committee. So we, per own policy, would have to go to a policy committee to change a policy.
Which that is not a big deal.
No, no, I don't. I don't disagree.
Is it legal for me to, as a chair, to appoint a special committee to handle this until we settle? You know, like I'd like to appoint a special committee to work with the budget since we're in between here, and also one to work with the policy if we have to, so we could straighten out the policy. Yeah. But I mean, you know, if you just want to keep the seven, you know,
I'm not. What are the seven?
How many times you have to do the athletic committee meetings?
That's never been because of our inner committee members, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're never gonna, you know.
That's been more of
when you have the more members you have on a committee, the harder it is to get everybody together at the same time.
I understand, but our conflict has been more when scheduling, when Jen had games, you know, to make sure, because I need Jen there as the athletic director, and if Doc had, like, at one point we had, you know, he's a busy man too. So I want to make sure that everybody's in the same place at the same time, so it's not conflicting. That's been more of our issue. I don't think we've ever not had an issue with a quorum.
I think there's always going to be subcommittees. Like negotiations is going to be hard to do just once a month, right? Because when you're in the middle of negotiation, you just have to be more. Student health and safety when you're expelling kids. That's going to be a tough one.
That's not going to happen until like the third year of the contract or whatever it is. But this time it's a 4-year contract, isn't it?
For the teachers. The next ones we have coming up, the last two, is going to be admins in 26. Because theirs is up in 27. And after that, nurses.
But that starts at the beginning of the 26 school year.
Okay. And the expulsion committee is difficult to do.
Yeah, that's on a deep basis.
Yeah. Sometimes more than others. Way more than others.
Maybe postpone and see what people that let them think about it. Come back with their.
Yeah, and if I decide to have special committees, I'll let everybody know.
Okay.
Yeah, think about it.
You can appoint an ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
Can somebody explain
just
what that
the
is?
Budget is
exactly.
Ad hoc committee is a committee set up
for special purpose.
The people that have been working on it up until now make the most sense to leave on it rather than
random
people that would have to catch up.
And then I feel like Holly would fill in where Laura would. Right, correct. That's the spot that was. I'm saying until.
Yeah.
Well, like the finance was Rebecca's the chair and it's me and Laura, but I don't know if we have it together.
I was trying to remember who was on that.
Finance was you, Rebecca, and Laura.
Yeah.
And then Ivy didn't really call.
Now, the committee that takes the most time would be negotiations.
And then I think ours was second. When you're expelling people, yeah. Busy.
Oh, our student health.
I just can't imagine jumbling all those things together and having an efficient meeting. I'm stuck on that. There's a lot of topics in three meetings or three committees to cover. And I just can't imagine efficiently getting through those topics with.
Well, you'll have more time because you don't have to go to two or three committees. So if that committee has to meet an extra night or whatever, when an issue is important, I mean, it's just, but, you know, again, just trying to, you know.
May I speak? Yeah. There are some committees that are repetitional to what goes on in this board meeting, like plants and facilities. Jim gives the same report to me as he does to the board. And the same thing with Robbie. He gives the same thing, his report to the plants and facilities as he does. So, I mean, that one.
Would it make sense? And are we able to, per what the bylaws currently state, to combine maybe those two? Or.
Yeah. Tactically, well, I don't know about tactically, but really, you could eliminate.
I checked online on some of the Valley schools. I mean, Shelton has four committees. Oxford has four committees. And Ansonia has six. And Seymour has six. You know, I mean, if you want to cut them down instead of three, you have four or five, it'll still, you know, then some people will have to serve on more than one committee.
I enjoy doing that, I'll be honest with you. But I guess maybe that doesn't serve the same way. I like the three I'm on.
Well, for the younger members, it might be more difficult getting out more nights during the month. I mean, older people like some of us. It's no problem. In fact, my wife wishes that could be out more often.
No, she doesn't. Yeah, she misses you.
I love her. That's that woman.
I'm so sweet. Pretty much almost every meeting, everything I got going.
Don't you say anything to my wife.
Okay, so where do we go from here?
What's happening now with the budget, at least if we had a committee to oversee the budget piece right now, contracts are done right now, so there's nothing
special committee for the budget.
Yeah, there's nothing immediate with the other areas right now that we wouldn't come.
Melissa says this, you know, we'll just keep Rebecca and myself and whoever's interested.
With all due respect, though, we have a policy that calls for six committees. Yeah. I think we should, in my opinion, we should follow our policy and fill the committees until there's not a gun to our head to make changes. We have a policy that says there's six standing committees. In my opinion, we should adhere to the policy, fill the committees, and then the policy committee that's in place can look at how we do subcommittees and then make changes during their meetings. But, I mean, to me, we have a policy in place.
Yeah,
we're not following right now.
Any change isn't going to
take place for months.
Take place for a couple months because you have a first read and a second.
So, in my opinion, we're knowingly not following a policy. So, we should at least follow the policy until we follow the process for changing the policy.
I agree.
Whether it's 2 months, 3 months, or 4 months, at least we have committees in place till we decide where we end up here.
Even if they meet or don't meet. Yes. Yeah.
And what happens if we have an expulsion tomorrow or next week?
Please don't wish that.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I know.
I'm just saying.
Just proceed as normal. Policy.
Well, I mean, I think you have to
make the motion.
No, if you kept everything the way it is,
we could do it at a meeting. Once. We could do it like 2 months from now if we wanted to. Yeah. No,
we do it at a workshop, doctor.
I'm sorry?
A workshop.
You can call a workshop.
Okay.
Do that. I'm going to get some feedback. Yeah, so we don't need one.
No, we would have. Just be, yeah.
You know what it is.
Okay. So forth. Does anybody have any other comments or questions before we adjourn?
No, I just think we should follow the policy until we figure it all out.
I do have one actual quick question that just came to mind, and I do apologize. I just would like to clarify. So are we sitting in the existing committees that we have been in?
No, those are Gazelle.
Yeah, it's a new term.
I have to appoint new committees.
Should we be sending an email to you on our interest in
that's what
committees?
That's what the bylaws say.
Okay, I wanted to double check that.
It actually had to be done by a certain date. But the thing is,
we're supposed to have a chairman by a certain date.
My concern is, like, if I don't know if I appoint the standing committees, I don't know if they could be broken up for 2 years.
If we change the policy, they can.
We just can't have no committees at all going on.
Yeah, Ken, if you
just so you follow the policy, you wouldn't not have committees. The chairman would assign members to the current committees until such time there's a recommendation for a change in the structure of the committees. And then you have a first read, and I would recommend a second read in this case because it is a more of a significant change than just, a state statute change. So you have to change your policies. Because even with that, I know we do a second read on every policy, but with simple technical changes that are either required by law or otherwise, it could be done in the first read. Something like this would be a two read.
And if I could, we don't know if it's going to get 5 votes to change the policy. Right. To me, I don't think we should knowingly not follow our own policy.
Now, who would replace Laura?
I think it was
whoever
Ken wants.
Committee? That's up to the chair.
That's right.
Yeah, Ken gets to pick whoever he wants.
Chairman
just asked that question.
Assign any of the 9 members to any committees or the same committees that existed until such time as
the policy has changed. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So you just assign to us? We don't get a choice?
You do.
You could ask me, or tell me I want to be on this committee, but it's still my choice to appoint you to whatever committee I want.
What if you don't want to be on that committee?
You don't have a choice.
Ken will take good care of you, Erica. Ken will take good care of you. Don't you worry.
Take care of my money.
Right. See you.
Oops, Mr. Marcuccio, you're $12,000 late in your account.
Okay, Laura went to the ACES policy.
Yes, she did. So you.
We need someone for that.
There is, I thought there was somebody. Were you assigned to that ever?
Yes, I did it years ago. Then
oh,
Laura
okay, gotcha.
There was no,
so you would have to assign somebody to.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, you're on ACES. Oh, you're on
CAPE.
You're on CAPE.
This is something different.
This is ACES.
You're on ACES as well as CAPE?
I did.
Okay.
CAPE's meeting is tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a legislative breakfast.
I can't make it.
Okay. I'll be there. You'll be there.
Right. All right.
That's in Cheshire.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's your perfect chair.
Okay, motion to adjourn then.
What? Are you gonna continue the tradition of the new guy adjourning?
Yes.
It's every time. For 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Unless you don't want to.
Oh. Okay, Holly.
Adjourn.
There you go.
Motion to adjourn, Holly.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Me.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, Mayor.
And I like my committee, just saying.
First meeting in 15 minutes.